Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to The Balance, the only sports talk show that gives a well-balanced diet of sports. Host Tom Marquis and the gang are ready to break down this week in sports. This is the one place where fanatics can come together and talk about their favorite teams. The Balance brings you an analytical breakdown of sports from a fan's point of view. So sit back and get ready. It's time for The Balance.
It's about damn time.
It's Thursday night and time for the Hot Corner.
There are 108 beads in a Catholic rosary and there are 108 stitches in a baseball.
Your home for all things MLB.
Suck one out of the park for me.
The Reds, the Cubs, the Cardinals, the Dodgers, and the White Sox.
I love baseball.
The Balance has you covered with a Hot Corner.
Watch where you're walking, guys. I don't want you to step in the crap I just knocked out of that ball, huh?
News, rumors, and fantasy, it's all in the Hot Corner.
Baseball, it's the best.
And here is your host, Tom Marquis.
I wish you could just shut your big yapper. Y'all ready for this?
My minions, are you ready? Time to round the bases. My name's Tom Marquis. Yeah, Presidente, you know me from Saturday mornings, host of The Balance. We welcome you from all across this great land we call the United States of America. I am your fearless leader, my minions, El Presidente. 917-889-8516 is the digits to get to me. We're going to be talking some baseball as we do every Thursday night right here on the Hot Corner. Going to be talking some fantasy baseball. Going to be talking about maybe some of those late prospects you guys want to take a look at. Also, instant replay back in the limelight. Looks like it's going to happen for 2014. We're going to break down some of the pros and the cons. And yes, my friends, my beloved Cardinals has narrowed the gap to just about 2.5 games after closing it up against the Pirates. And say what you want about the Pirates. They have had a fantastic year so far. And, of course, I follow the Pirates as well because of their AAA affiliate being located here in Indianapolis, our flagship state town. Well, we broadcast here in all of our affiliate radio stations, and Indiana Talks, you broadcast our encore show from 9 to 10 tonight. So if you miss all of it, don't worry. Plus, you can catch it on iTunes, www.thebalanceonline.com. We're on Twitter, Facebook, you know, wherever it's at, it could be. Now, you know, I mentioned that we were from Indianapolis here. I tell you what, they've got this big gaming festival going on in downtown. It's like traffic crazy and all the characters. So if you're a Gen Con, if you're a gamer, I tell you what, you're probably here in Indianapolis not listening to this show anyway. But we are going to talk a little bit about, you know, some fantasy, but maybe a little bit more reality fantasy baseball. We're going to talk about that. We've got a great guest lined up here in just a moment. We're going to get to him. We're going to talk with him. He is the self-proclaimed know-it-all of all fantasy, even fantasy beer pong. That's what I hear. So we're going to put him to the challenge, to the test. He's going to talk to you and maybe give you a little strategy on picking up some of these late prospects, if you will, as you get ready here as in the latter part, in the second half of baseball season. Guys, it's hard to believe that we have gone so deep into the season, and we are where we are, but we is what we is. So we're going to talk about some instant replay and, you know, some fantasy and, you know, whatever your heart desires. Well, you know, hey, that's what I'm here. I'm here to please in any way I can. My name is Tom Marquis, El Presidente. We'll be right back right after this.
Hi, I'm Mark Timmons of U.S. Water Systems, a family-owned Indiana company that sells water treatment equipment around the world. But we especially know Indiana water because our world headquarters are right here in Indy. You have bad water in your home or business? Whether you're on city or well water, uswatersystems.com makes it easy to solve your water problems. We offer videos, all sorts of water conditioning equipment, and tech support 365 days a year by certified water specialists. U.S. Water has reverse osmosis systems, water softeners, and salt-free water conditioners from $179. Visit us at uswatersystems.com.
Baseball, he talks about it.
Red Sox or Phillies, which team has the best racist fans in baseball?
Well, maybe not that.
Game over, bitch.
Back to the Balance Online with host Tom Marquis. All right, my minions, welcome back to the Hot Corner. My name's Tom Marquis, El Presidente. Well, without further ado, we're going to jump right into some of this fantasy baseball talk. Also talk a little bit about MLB planning to expand its instant replay in 2014. But joining us now is a colleague of mine, but also a self-proclaimed expert in all fantasy. And what I want to know is, we're going to ask here in a minute, is there a Gen Con table for fantasy sports? Because if so, this guy would be at it. Mr. Jared Calhoun, how you doing, sir? Welcome to the Hot Corner for the very first time.
Hi. How you doing, Tom? I am honored to be on the show this evening.
How you doing? It is good to have you on, sir. Now, I hear, now this is what you tell me, that you are the foremost expert in all fantasy sports, that you are literally a walking fantasy knowledgeable guy. So fantasy beer pong, fantasy women, fantasy fantasy football. I know you're going to play.
I don't know if I can claim all that.
Recently married, so we'll try to keep you out of trouble, that's for sure. Well, Jared,
Absolutely.
I wanted to talk with you a little bit about the – First of all, let's get your – we're going to jump into some fantasy baseball talk here in a minute. We're late into the season. We want to talk a little bit about some of the prospects. And, you know, it's not too late to turn your season around in fantasy baseball. We'll get to that here in just a second. But the MLB plans to expand its instant replay rule in 2014. What are some of the pros, some of the cons? What are your initial thoughts about that? I personally am not a big fan of it. I think we've already got the game long enough and dragged out enough. I think it's really going to hurt the pitchers. There's a lot of reasons why I don't like this, but what are your thoughts? MLB plans to expand the instant replay in 2014.
Yeah, Tom, I really feel a similar sentiment. I don't know if you can remember back to a couple of years ago. I think Armando Galarraga had a perfect game or a no-hitter taken away from him in which a situation where instant replay could have, you know, given that guy a perfect game. Or a no-hitter. For a guy who's no longer in the big leagues, you know, that would have been the highlight of his career. Something like that happened in the playoffs, that could be a big deal. But at the same time, you know, you think about the game of baseball, and you hear bang, bang, play in baseball all the time, and that's what we grew up playing, watching. I think it just takes some of the momentum out of the game. So I really feel that even beyond, a pitcher's perspective, I just think it's going to ruin kind of the entertainment factor, taking that bang, bang, and then, you know, getting the people yelling out of the dugouts and whatnot out. There'll be a lot less yelling, you know. I don't know if you can throw a challenge flag, there won't be as many fireworks on the show. And, you know, that's part of baseball, picking the bases up, throwing it around, taking your hat off, kicking dust. That's my opinion.
Well, you know, I can see that, but here's my thing. You know, managers – are by nature, baseball managers are by nature the most esteemed strategist around, and they will find a loop. There will be loopholes. You can already see that and use those loopholes to maybe give their relief pitchers an extra 5 to 7 pitches. You know, that may not mean so much in August or you know, earlier on in the summertime, April, May, but it will mean a lot in the playoffs, and it'll certainly mean a lot in the World Series, especially if you're in Game 7. And, you know, hey, ump, come over here. We want to do that. You know, in high school and in lower levels, you know, the coach or the catcher, we'll just say the catcher has to, you know, if he says to the ump, hey, you know, check if it, for example, be called a ball. And mm-hmm. and the catcher says, hey, I think you need to ask your partner over there. Did he check a swing? Well, whether or not the ump agrees with it or not, he's got to do that. So I can mm-hmm. see some big time big leaguers managers coming out and saying, hey, ump, come here. You need to check this out, and going out there and letting their relief pitchers relax their arm a little bit, maybe get another five, seven, eight pitches. And like I said, may not mean much early in the season, but late in the season, that'll mean a lot. So once it's a rule, it's a rule.
Yeah, absolutely. Especially if I was an umpire, I'd be voting this in all day. You think back to a series where maybe I think it was in the mid-'80s, the Royals, they had that infamous play, and the umpire was hounded for years. Because they didn't have instant replay, and he had received death threats. So this will be good for umpires, but I think they might be the only ones it's good for.
Right. You know, we see the pros and the cons, and certainly we can break down all of that a little bit later on in the show. But I'm just curious to see how it's going to. I really, one of the biggest concerns I have is time. Let's look at some of these long games that have already happened this season. We have games on the West Coast that are going till 3-4 o'clock Eastern time zone. That is unreal, and that's just without that. And the average baseball league baseball game lasts probably right around 3 hours, and that's with everything going smoothly. I don't know, man. I just think this is just really going to slow the game down significantly.
I agree.
Well, let's talk a little fantasy baseball. Mr. Jared Calhoun, talking some fantasy baseball. Now, Jared, I know that you know a lot there is to know when it comes to fantasy baseball. So let's talk about this. Okay, you got a fantasy team. Do you have a fantasy baseball team?
Oh, yes.
Okay, let's talk about your current league, your current team, where you're at, what you've done, and how you prepared for your draft, and where your team is at now, and maybe some of the strategies that you could at least give away on the air, give us a little nuggets to chew on what you've done, and we're late in the season here, and now's the time to look at some of those late prospects. And I know that you do a lot of research when it comes to picking up prospects, especially for your fantasy leagues. What are some of the things you're looking at? What are some of the players you're looking at? How are you developing your team now as we go into the second half of the season?
Sure. This is not the time to go to sleep if you're thinking about playing fantasy baseball next year. I look back to last year and some of the players who broke out in the second half, especially in the minor leagues, who carry that over this year, just outstanding. Absolutely outstanding second half. I like to think back to one guy you may have never even heard of. You may have, who knows. He's in the Phillies system. This kid, Mikel Franco, I don't even know how to say his name. But he just really turned on the Jets last year. He's 20, 21 years old, and he has just carried that over into this year, what his stats from the second half. So a second half indicator is a great example of what may happen in the next year. That guy may be playing right field for them next year. Who knows? Maybe even first base with the way that things are going with the Phillies right now. But looking at, you know, things that are happening right now for next year, you want to start looking at guys like Will Myers. You know, he's going to be a name that, you know, some people may recognize but not understand what he's doing. Down there for the Tampa Bay Rays, this kid, every level, he has had an adjustment period. And, you know, if you go back and look at the stats and look at what he's doing right now, it's absolutely ridiculous. So his first, maybe second month of the year, he's hit 6 home runs this month. He's batting .356. So if you call that an adjustment period, he may be even better at the pros. Some guys just seem to turn it off. So that's one guy you need to look for. Last year, a guy that I was big on was Matt Harvey. He came out of nowhere, kind of in the second half, came up to the pros. They said he had this walk issue, and all of a sudden he just got his control together. So he has been lights out this year, that everyone knows. But that actually started, you know, in August of last year.
Mm-hmm. No, I absolutely agree with you. I thought you were going something else with that. So where, when you look at your fantasy team, where are you at? What are some of the strengths your team has right now? What are some of the weaknesses that you have? And what are you doing to come out on top? As I hear you tell that you win all the time.
I try to. one of the leagues that I've been in, it's actually like a dynasty keeper league. So we're farming these prospects over because you get to keep these prospects very cheaply based on the salary for the couple next years. Very similar to the pros. So my strategy is always to go is to find some players, in the minor leagues who are having success, but not necessarily someone who's hitting 30 home runs, not necessarily someone who's batting 400. All those are good factors. But finding those guys who are just really showing improvement from year to year. So maybe a guy who has a very strong walk ratio in the minor leagues and lots of doubles, that's an indicator for the next year of what, maybe somebody you need to be taking a look at because of what he can do in the next coming years. I think of names like Hanley Ramirez back in the day, and that's kind of, he hit maybe seven home runs or something like that the year before he came up, and then he went bonkers, adjusting in the MLB, hitting, 20, 25 home runs in his rookie year. And that's a stat that you see regularly out of good hitters. Now, there are exceptions, like a guy like Paul Goldschmidt. He had struck out 130, 140 times, hit 35 home runs in the minor leagues. Well, now he has improved his play discipline because the Diamondbacks just have an outstanding system. That is definitely, those are the type of guys that you want to look for this time of year, because they usually develop that plate discipline into doubles power as they grow into it, into home run power, which is going to produce your RBIs and runs. So I love to build my team around known assets and guys that are appreciated. So my fantasy baseball team this year, a guy that's actually been a little disappointing for me, not from what I pay him, but he's an all-star, Freddie Freeman. He's like batting 300 and 310, something like that on the year. But he's only got, I think he's sitting on 14 home runs and a first baseman in these days. That's not outstanding. It's not horrible, but it's definitely not going to, that's not what you're looking for. So he's a guy, while he's batting 310, you're looking to supplement some of that power somewhere else. So what I'm looking at for next year is someone from a middle infield position, or an outfielder that I could base that around, or a catcher even, to kind of offset some of that power. Maybe a guy lower average, kind of balance out my averages. That's what I look for. So some guy that I've been riding this off season is Marlon Byrd, this year is Marlon Byrd. He's had a career resurgence, but I always try to find those guys who are a little bit younger to build around. Just because you look at a guy like Carlos Beltran, great first half. But right now he's really struggling. I think he hit, he's at 20 home runs for the year, and he's had one in the last month. While he's batting .280, that's definitely not what you're looking for. Another guy I've got on my team is Jay Bruce. He's hit about 5 home runs a month this year, even this month. So that's something you really want to keep your eye out. Even though Jay Bruce is one of those strikeout guys that you're looking for, he can kind of offset with the average that you're getting from a guy like Freddie Freeman. So looking into next year, guys that we need to keep our eyes open for are, folks like Evan Gattis of the Atlanta Braves. He's hit a lot of home runs this spring and kind of tailed off, got hurt this summer. But what a lot of people don't know is Brian McCann's a free agent this year. So he may stay, he may not be. There's some teams around baseball that would love to have him. But Evan Gattis, if he can get everyday playing time, he's got 30 home run power, maybe 40 home run power. So guys like that, guys that may be moving into closing roles in the next year or so, lights out guys like a guy like Rex Brothers for the Colorado Rockies. He's closed 10 games. And this guy has an ERA of 1.4 in 50 innings this year. He's just really hit another level in relief. And their guy that's been hurt, Rafael Betancourt, he's probably not going to be there next year. I think he's a free agent after this year. He's going to be gone. So looking at pitchers for the next year, a guy whose stock is going to be down next year is you know, one of our favorite pitchers, Tom, Shelby Miller. A guy who over the last, month or two, he's really showed signs of fatigue. And he left a start early last week against the Dodgers. I know we had some conversation about that last week. I had to take one off the elbow. He came back, wasn't fine, but I just think he needs some seasoning. So next year, you know, that first half that he had, the 1.9 ERA or whatever, I think that's going to be much more something you're going to see over the course of next year from a guy like him. You look at guys that are having subpar years, as Cole Hamels, you know, look for that next year. The guy's lost like 14 games or something ridiculous like that this year, but his ERA is 3.65, which is pretty solid from a major league standpoint, not a 14-game loser. So his stock's a little down, but next year that's going to be a guy you're going to want to jump all over. There's some guys, though, that you might have to overpay for next year that you might be a little leery of. I'm not sure, you know, who you own on your fantasy football or fantasy baseball teams, Tom, but there are definitely some pitchers like Hiroki Kuruta. Man, this guy is lights out right now, but he's 39 years old. That's a guy that next year you're gonna have reservations about drafting just from the age standpoint. Can he do this Cy Young performance again? Prospects that might come up this fall and help you. I know we're here in Indianapolis. And we've got our beloved Pirates fan club here in the Indians.
And
they just called up Andrew Lambeau. This guy has immense power. He actually had a PED suspension, I think, a year or two ago. And he was a big-time prospect and kind of fell off the radar. And then he's hit 30 home runs and, you know, I think maybe 100 games or something this spring. And so he got himself a little call-up. And he's a guy that if he can adjust and regain that confidence, he might not be a superstar, but he's going to be a very solid player, in my opinion, just based off of his double-A and triple-A adjustment / performance. You know, I look at guys like, you know, that came up mid-season, like a Ryan Braun, and they didn't go crazy right away, but they came up and had very solid stats. And this is a guy that kind of reminds me of a Ryan Braun, not from a plate discipline perspective, but from size, from a power perspective, a draft status perspective. I don't think he's going to produce like a Ryan Braun did when he first came up, but it's very possible that this guy could be, you know, someone who helps you this fall. He could earn his way into playing right field for them every day, or even first base.
Right, absolutely. We're talking with Jared Calhoun, colleague of mine. Jared is a strategist when it comes to fantasy baseball and football, for that matter. We're certainly going to have him on more as the football season moves along and talk about some fantasy football. And I haven't asked you yet, Jared, but every Saturday morning you can join us for our annual balance mock draft, and we do that from 10 to 11. So, so much fun. Yeah, I know I only got you for a limited amount of time. Like I said, you're newly married. Wifey's making dinner for you, so we don't want to ruin that stuff. But I do want to get a couple thoughts from you on a couple of players. You know, certainly everyone wants to have the next big stud, the next big guy. And as you said, hunting around to uncover those key young players can really help your squad, especially in the final months or two of the fantasy season. And I think it's exciting, especially to owners in really deep leagues. So what I wanted to do today while I was doing some show prep, no, I mean working, I mean show prep, but but I come across a list of some people that, you know, and here's the thing. We talked about the Indians and we talked about, you know, the minor league system. If you look at the minor league system, you know, a lot of your prospects may or may not be currently in the majors. And we look at Christian Yelich of the Miami Marlins and Danny Salazar of the Cleveland Indians or Wilmer Flores of the Mets. You know, those are all people. And you look at Tyler Skaggs, who's likely to get another look in the desert. But he's already thrown 68 big league innings. So, you know, I got a list of some players. I just want to get your opinions on them, and certainly in no particular order. I want to talk certainly – we're a National League Central fan base here. Love the Cardinals, but unfortunately, there are people out there who still like the Cubs. But in fantasy sports, whether it's baseball or football or what have you, you don't really you want to put your favorite team aside. You want to do what's best for your team. I look at a kid, Mike Alt, third base for the Cubs. And, you know, he had some vision problems, which really cost him some play time earlier in the year. But he's a young 24-year-old that was traded last month, finally freeing him from being, I guess, blocked by Adrian Beltre. I think this kid can hit some serious homers here, and not much ahead of him in the depth chart once Alt gets hot for his new organization. I think he'll get the call up.
Yeah, I think that Mike Alt, he's actually one of my favorite minor league players, and that's a guy that you look at the type of power he has and what he did back in 2012. This year is kind of a lost year for him with the eye vision correction issue, very similar to what some pros had. You know, I think Brian McCann had that surgery, and it changed his world. The LASIK surgery, you know, freeing up, you know, I guess his vision to see those curveballs coming in. So he's actually one of the unfortunate things. One of the reasons I think the Rangers are so reluctant to trade him 2 years ago was because of the strikeout to walk ratio. Well, his strikeout ratio actually went up a little bit this year, so they were willing to kind of move on from Olt, and I think they've got a little bit. They've got some more players coming along who can fill that position down there in Texas. They needed Garza, obviously. But Mike Olt, he just has some raw power. And you look at what he's done this year, 230 at-bats, 11 home runs. That was in Texas in the PCL League. You know, he's hit two since coming over to the Cubs for what that's worth. But that's 30 home run power right there. And, yes, that's the PCL, but Wrigley Field, when that wind gets blowing out there, you know, that could be a 25 home run third baseman. And this guy used to be a shortstop, so he's definitely going to stick at third base. He's not going to be one of these guys that gets moved to first or the outfield. So that's something positive about him.
Absolutely. And my next guy on the list, Billy Hamilton. I hate the Reds, by the way, but I keep saying don't listen to your fantasy gut. I mean, don't let your fantasy gut be lured by your favorite teams, but it's hard to do, especially when you look at how well the Reds have done and what they've done to my Cardinals. But that, neither here. Billy Hamilton, outfield of the Reds. Obviously, I think a lot of fantasy owners, and maybe you're one of them, has just been nipping at the bit to see what this kid can do after he swiped a baseball record of 155 bases last year. But Hamilton has, I think, really taken a step back in his first go around at the AAA. You know, he's at a 311 on base percentage, and only and so as such, he won't break into the Reds lineup as anything other than maybe a pitch runner or a defense replacement. But he could still nab some double digit bases through that role. That said, that's going to score you some points.
Yeah, I definitely think if you're in a roto league, you know, this is some guy that if he gets called up, he doesn't have to play for it. He doesn't have to have four at bats to steal you two bases. I think it was Fred Lewis came up and did that a few years back. He was just a pinch hitter. And, you know, this guy, he's plate discipline, not great, on-base percentage, not great. But when he gets on, he flies. I mean, he's upped himself, though, this year. He's got six home runs. So this could be a guy developing power very slowly, very surely. You know, 16 doubles, that's pretty good for a guy who can steal you 70 bases, you know, last year, 155 in a complete season. Well, a little bit better catchers now here in the AAA level. He's probably slowing that down, you know, they're actually trying to win these games here in AAA. So, you know, they're not letting him risk as much as that. But that's definitely a guy you want to look out for because he's going to be at a defensive premium as well coming in late in game.
Absolutely. One more guy on my well, minor league list, if you will. And we'll talk about who's hot, and we'll let you go there. But Jackie Bradley, outfielder of the Red Sox there. If we're talking about runs and still scoring points, this 23-year-old kid didn't do much after it really had a great spring and got him out on the 25-man roster. I think he's a little bit more polished than a lot of people on the roster, and the Red Sox are certainly doing great in the American League East there. And he, among others, maybe could maybe get a call up, and you could use him in some very useful weak spots in your team, maybe to fill some holes.
Yeah, this Jackie Bradley is one of these guys with the play discipline that I keep talking about. Year after year, you see this, see these top players. You know, Albert Pujols back in his prime, Hanley Ramirez back in his prime, guys. You know, this is a very true factor. He's 23 years old, and, you know, his walk-to-strikeout ratio was 38 to 58. That's pretty good for 300 at-bats was what he had. Maybe a little bit more strikeout than what you want to look, but the walk percentage is great there. So 9 home runs, 22 doubles. If he could just turn a few of those in Fenway, you know, over the Green Monster or down the line, that's a pretty solid, you know, 20 home run outfield guy, good batting average. He's fast. He might steal you a few bases here and there. Lots of runs in that Boston lineup. But, you know, Tom, the guy that I'm really most excited about here that could have a late season call up for the Red Sox is Xander Bogaerts. Not sure if you've heard of this kid, but they recently traded Jose Iglesias to the Tigers. And that left the door wide open. Now they're having they're playing musical chairs there at third base between Middlebrooks and a couple other guys who they just called up. But Bogaerts, he's got 9 home runs, but he's only 20 years old. 9 home runs at AAA this year, and he's 20 years old, which is pretty crazy. Oh, and then he had 6 at AA. So he's sitting on 15 home runs in about 400 plate appearances, maybe closer to 500. Great plate discipline. This is your next superstar. This is your next A-Rod. This is your next Manny Machado that had come up last year. He's going to be around for a stretch run. When he comes up, stick him in your lineup at third base and let him score runs and hit home runs for you, maybe even shortstop if he's eligible there. You know, you think about, I mean, shortstop has been a rough year for fantasy baseball. So if this guy comes up and does anything, it's going to be very useful in my opinion.
Well, let's talk about who does have the call-ups for sure. And I gotta include my Cardinals, Matt Holliday. Cardinals left fielder and Matt Holliday went 2-for-5 with a double and 2 RBIs in Thursday's win over the Pirates. Today's win over the Pirates, like I said earlier, narrowed that gap to about 2.5 games. Holliday, I think, gave a lot of fantasy owners a big scare when he was pulled from the series opener with an ankle injury, but ended up playing hero with his walk-off single in the bottom of the 12th inning. I tell you what, this slugger is on a 12-game winning streak. The Cardinals have a culture of winning. This is the time of the year where the Cardinals will start turning around. And unfortunately for the Pirates, it's great that where they're at, and it's a great Cinderella story. But they don't have that culture, they don't have that training, and they don't have that discipline. The Cardinals do. Matt Holliday leads that charge.
Oh, yes. Matt Holliday, definitely a strong guy here that has come on recently. I'm not sure what the stats are, but he's been batting ever since he came back from the DL. He's had an abysmal first half, but I think he's batting 400 over the past couple weeks, something like that, and has really been putting a spark back in the Cardinals. And somebody else the Cardinals got back today, our favorite catcher, Yadi Molina.
Molly!
He's back. Yeah, and he is ready to get going again, and he had a great year, and that's definitely somebody we've been missing. On a defensive perspective, from a pitching, guiding those pitchers, they love throwing to him. But then even his bat has really grown. He's like one of the top five, fantasy catchers now. So just an all-around great player. That's why we paid him this offseason. And we really need a guy like Holliday to stay in the lineup with Beltran kind of not having the power in the second half. He kind of gets a little bit tired, worn down nowadays, but you know, we don't have our call up that we wish we had, that we've all been waiting on, Oscar Tavares. He actually went out for the year with a high ankle sprain surgery. Yeah, he's been trying to recover since May from this thing, and they just said, let's put him on the injured reserve and have surgery. So the Cardinals need to make it work with what they have happen, because some of those guys that they were relying on probably aren't going to be up this year.
All right, Jared Calhoun, we appreciate you taking some time to join us. I know that you went a little overtime with us today, and you're always welcome, and I'll get with you later on here about possibly being on Saturday's mock draft show that we have Saturday morning. Jared, any final thoughts, anything we didn't talk about that you want to add before we let you go, sir?
No, absolutely. Just pay attention to who these guys are getting pulled up. Everybody's seen Puig. Everybody's seen Harper and Trout. Trout's special, Puig is special, but the verdict's out on them. So keep an eye out for the next guys that might be coming up, the next arm that will make or break your season next year, just like Matt Harvey did this year for a lot of guys.
All right, Jared, you have yourself a good evening. We'll talk again soon, sir.
Thank you, Tom.
All righty. Jared Calhoun, fantasy strategy god. And you know what? I called him to the mat on this. I'm glad he came on the show with us. I gave him a hard time about it. But, you know, I'm excited about it. He's also in our Work Fantasy Football League. He's coming on board with the Balanced Fantasy Football. I tell you what, I think there's one thing that this guy knows, and that's fantasy. So we're looking forward to leaning on to him, especially throughout football as we get started, and maybe have him on a few more times before the season ends. My name's Sean Marcos, El Presidente. We're going to take a break, and we get back. We're going to jump more into this conversation with Instant Replay. Certainly going to be talking about some of the league leaders. Anything you want to talk about? We've got about 30 minutes left as we go into the second half of the show. 917-889-8516. We'll be right back. Stay right there.
Hi, I'm Mark Timmons of U.S. Water Systems, a family-owned Indiana company that sells water treatment equipment around the world. But we especially know Indiana water because our world headquarters are right here in Indy. You have bad water in your home or business? Whether you're on city or well water, uswatersystems.com makes it easy to solve your water problems. We offer videos, all sorts of water conditioning equipment, and tech support 365 days a year by certified water specialists. U.S. Water has reverse osmosis systems, water softeners, and salt-free water conditioners from $179. Visit us at uswatersystems.com.
Today's consumer spends 1.4 times as many hours using social networking sites than reading and responding to email. Marquee Solutions works with your company to build a solid social strategy. They are with you from start to finish, always there to help you navigate through the complexities of social media. Call Marquee Solutions today, 317-903-8063. That's 317-903-8063. Marquee Solutions, work with them today.
Got a treat for you, a sneak preview of the new three-act Broadway musical being written and directed by Yankee slugger Alex Rodriguez.
If it's baseball.
If it's baseball.
Tom Marcus is talking about it on The Balance.
A little of both, they say. Our ball club may be minor league, but at least it's Triple A. We sit below the Marlboro Man, above the Rockville Wall. We do the wave all by ourselves. Hey, if a blind man could have made that call. We like our beer flat as candy. We like our dogs with mustard and relish. Got a great pitcher, what's his name? Well, we can't even spell it. We don't worry about the thin as much. We just like to see the boys hit it deep. There's nothing like the view from the Chiefs.
Quiet, Sebastian! Sebastian, please! Don't interrupt my act! Sebastian!
Well, Mr.
floaters. I didn't see the lights there. I forgot about them.
What in the world are you doing?
Right.
Why interrupt my act like this?
Well, look, Mr. Floaters, I mean, after all, if you're in a ballpark, they always sell peanuts and popcorns and things like that.
I know that, Sebastian, but not in front of them. I beg your pardon, friend.
Ladies and gentlemen, and also the children, will you excuse me for a minute, please?
Thank you. What do you want to do?
Look, Mr. Floaters.
Right. What are you doing?
I love baseball.
Well, we all love baseball.
When we get to St. Louis, will you tell me the guys' names on the team so I go to see them in that St. Louis ballpark? I'll be able to know those fellas.
Well, now, is it all right, folks? All right.
Excuse me, I want to find out the fellas' names.
As long as it's okay with the audience.
I'm thinking about baseball.
Will you stand still? Pick up your hat. Go pick up your hat.
Okay.
Now, look. Then you'll go and peddle your popcorn and don't interrupt the act anymore?
Yes, sir.
All right. But you know, strange may seem, they give ball players nowadays very peculiar names.
Funny names?
Nicknames, pet names.
Not as funny as my name, Sebastian Dinwiddie.
Oh, yes.
Funnier than that?
Oh, absolutely. Yes, now, on the St. Louis team, we have who's on first, what's on second, I don't know's on third.
That's what I want to find out. I want you to tell me the names of the fellas on the St. Louis team.
I'm telling you, who's on first, what's on second, I don't know's on third.
Do you know the fellas' names?
Yes.
Well, then who's playing first?
Yes.
I mean the fellas' name on first base.
Who?
The fella playing first base for St. Louis.
Who?
The guy on first base.
Who is on first?
Well, what are you asking me for?
I'm not asking you. I'm telling you. Who is on first?
Boy's got a mouth like a cannon, always shooting it all.
All right, my minions, welcome back to the Hot Corner. My name's Tom Marquis. Hey, thank you so much, Jared Calhoun, a colleague of mine, for joining us on the Hot Corner today, breaking down some fantasy baseball in the second half. Well, speaking of second half, we've gone into the second half of the show. Man, time just flies when you're having fun. We're talking a little bit about this instant replay that the MLB is going to be put in, and maybe as a regular. Well, it looks like it's going to happen in 2014. I want to talk with you. What are your thoughts? Give us a call, 917-889-8516. We'd love to talk with you about the pros, the cons. What do you think? Is it something that should happen? Is it what do you think about it? And, you know, I talked with Jared a little bit earlier on in the show about this. I just think it's just going to really, really bog down an already long game. Don't get me wrong. I love baseball. I love what I do. But I don't know. It just looks to me like, you know, Commissioner Selig, Bud Selig, can figure out a better way to make this work. Perhaps maybe we need to make it maybe like a challenge system, much like NFL does, where you're charged. I don't know what they would be charged. Maybe an out. You know, charge them an out if they – they use this. So let's talk about some of the highlights of the new instant replay system. You might like it. You might think that it's a good thing. You know, I could see both sides of it because we've seen some refs and some umps blow some pretty crazy calls, like plain as day calls. And then we've seen them just not call calls that should have happened. So we've seen them call wrong calls. And call. So I could see why you would like to have the instant replay in play, but let's do something like NFL does. Let's do something that says, hey, manager, if you come out here and you challenge this and you want an instant replay, and for whatever reason it doesn't come into your favor, maybe you're charged an out, maybe you're charged a strike to the batter that's up. There has to be something in place that prevents team managers, from taking advantage of this. Maybe you've got your thoughts on it, 917-889-8516. You know, again, some of the things that come to the forefront right here at the very, very beginning is, hey, we're late in the season, and perhaps we're in a pennant race. Perhaps we're in a league champion in the NLCS or the ALCS. Perhaps we're in a last game situation, game seven in the World Series. Perhaps we've seen things like we've seen in other very, very recent World Series, where the pitching staff has been exhausted, and a lot of times they're like, do we bring somebody in from the outfield? Do we switch around our third base? Can they just throw the ball? Can they just get us through an inning? You know, and so I can see where this instant replay is going to create some debacle, on the field. You know, again, an already long game, an already long type of situation. But let's talk a little bit about some of the highlights of the new instant replay system that goes into play in 2014. A review will be initiated when a manager informs the umpire that he wants to challenge a play. So whatever play that might be, a manager has to challenge that play. As we know, that's what's already currently in place in the NFL. And so he will be allowed to challenge in the first six innings and no more from the seventh through the end of the game. Well, okay, that certainly is an historical moment for baseball. You know, that's what Atlanta Braves owner president said. I'm sorry, Braves president said, this is a historic moment for baseball. Absolutely. I'm wondering if it's a negative historic moment. So if the manager wins his appeal, he retains the challenge. The challenge from the first six innings does not carry over. Not all plays are reviewable. So maybe, you know, we there's a reason for error. There's a method to my madness all the time. I played that soundbite. Who's on first? What's on second? Yeah, it's a classic soundbite. You know, Abbott and Costello. Who's on first? What's on second? But that's going to be one of those situations. Hey, wait a minute. Do we have to call them back? They're out in second. If a manager disagrees with the reviewable call, his only recourse would be to use a challenge. Managers do not have the ability, or won't be able to, I should say, to argue a reviewable call. They certainly have the ability. They're going to argue that anyway. I think that's part of the game. Come on, by a show of hands here, radio hands, if you will, how many people love to see the ump and the manager go at it, head-to-head, toe-to-toe? They might be asking about the kiddos with their screaming, kicking dust. Although, there's been some pretty classic times. So they're certainly going to – I don't think that's going to change. I think they're still going to challenge that. Not all plays are reviewable. And if his only recourse would be to challenge if he disagrees with the reviewable call. So let's talk about those reviewable calls. What would they be? Reviewable plays will cover 89% of those incorrect calls that were made in the past, at least according to Schurholz, president of the Braves. The 11% remaining are the non-reviewable category, which can still be argued by the manager, and the manager can still request that the umpires get together and discuss to see if anybody else on the crew saw it differently. But it's not reviewable. That, again, is according to Schurholz, president of the Atlanta Braves. So let's talk about this. The list of exactly which plays fall into each category hasn't been finalized. Imagine that. Pending talks with the union. Come on! The union? So anti-union. I know this is not a political show, but unions have just ruined so much in sports, in capitalism, in our political system. All right, I won't go off on one of my rants. So we've got to sit around and wait. We have to sit around and wait for collective bargaining, maybe? Could we call that? Before we know what exactly is reviewable, what exactly is not reviewable. Come on. This is what I find even more comical. They can't get their act together enough like the NFL does. Hey, the ump walks over to the booth. We got somebody maybe upstairs in the press box looking over this. All replays will be reviewed by umpires at MLB.com headquarters in New York, with technicians available to provide the necessary video. All right, I know this is 2013, and, you know, modern technology allows real-time taping, and, you know, that technology is possible. But there's just something that says, hey, we're taking it away from the field. Hey, let me call New York here real quick. What about those long-ass games that go forever on the West Coast? Already go forever. Not just the West Coast. Obviously, I know they happen all across the league. But, you know, there are some times that we're out watching maybe, especially if you got the MLB package like I do, you might be up, you know, at 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock watching a game, and, you know, you wake up to go into the bed about midnight, and they're still playing. Oh, let's call New York at 3 o'clock in the morning. Come on. I think this goes into my con category. Con is right. The MLB is conning the fans. This is not a good thing. As I've always said, I try to speak and have a voice for the fans. This is not a good thing. Now, I certainly believe that there should be situations where certain calls should be reviewed, I guess is the best way to say it. However, this is just going to get out of hand. Everybody's going to be calling New York. So as we understand it, we don't know what's reviewable, what's not. They have to call the MLB.com headquarters in New York. All right, so let's talk a little bit about the boundary calls on home runs, which have been grandfathered in. The on-site umpires will retain the right to submit the plays for review or not. There are no provision to cover the possibility of an obviously blown call late in the game if the manager has used all of his challenges. Okay, maybe that counterbalances a little bit about what I was talking about earlier, about managers taking advantages of it and, you know, having something to discourage them. Maybe, but I love this. There is no provision to cover the possibility of an obviously blown call late in the game. So, bottom line is, umps, refs, they don't have to get their eyesight fixed. That's not going to change. It was an obvious call. It was blown. No matter who your team is, you've seen blown calls. It's not going to change. According to baseball, MLB, they're going to have the new system in place for the start of the 2014 season. I think this is still in the beta version, guys. they're still trying to figure this out. They're still trying to say, hey, where's this going to go? How are we going to do this? Is that a reviewable call? Is that not? I can see it now. MLB goes, hey, we got to review it. Then we got to talk to the union rep here. We got the union rep here, the players union rep. He's gonna talk with us about that play. Let us know if it was reviewable or not. Unions. You know, I love Tony La Russa. Obviously, being a diehard Cardinal fan, I love Tony La Russa. I'm sure those of you will like Joe Torre, and certainly they're legends of the game, and they're good friends personally off the field. But here you have it. If you could picture this, Joe Torre, Tony La Russa, sitting in some big suite at MLB. Oh, advising. And then you got the union rep. And they're all in the war room, if you will.
watching in real time. You made me get on another political rant about Obama and his war rooms in real time in Benghazi. I don't want to get into that. But if you can get a mental picture here of what's going on in New York, you got Joe Torre, Bud Selig, Tony La Russa, and the union rep sitting there saying, "Nope, not reviewable." Yep, that was pretty much a blown call. I guess they're going to be working with the managers, though, beginning in the winter meetings in December and on into spring training to get this worked out. So we go on into spring training. Don't worry about it, guys. We got this thing fixed. We got it going on. We got a committee up in New York that's going to review. Am I the only one that finds that comical? 917-889-8516 is the final digits here. We got just a couple more minutes. I'm going to let you guys tweet me what you think. Yay or nay on the instant replay. Yeah, I think you figured out now that my vote is nay. Nay, nay, nay. I don't know. I'm sure there's a ways to get this fixed. And I'm okay with it for some certain situations and some certain plays. But I think we've just gone way overboard with this thing. We've gone way too far. Way too far. All right, as we talked about earlier, the Pirates and St. Louis did battle today. St. Louis pulled off a win out there, 6-5. The Angels and the Yankees. The Angels over the Yankees, 8-4. Those are the games that have folded and are in the books. As we look at the National League Central, we got the Reds and Milwaukee. The Reds coming in at 68-52. Milwaukee 52-68. We look at later on tonight, we look at the Mets and the Padres. Mets coming in 54-64. San Diego 54-66. White Sox and the Twins. I like the Twins in this game. Your Boston Red Sox going against Toronto. Oh, Canada. Oh, Canada. Oh. Of course, Boston's got a pretty good strong hold over this game. I don't think we're going to see anything exciting in this game. In the bottom of the third, the Tigers lead the Royals 2-1. Of course, the Royals come in 62-56. Remember, I talked on this show and on the balance and on my blogs. Watch out for those Kansas City Royals. And maybe they're not going to win the World Series. I'm not saying that, and I've said it before. They're going to be there in that playoff contention. They're much like the Pirates over in the American League. Where'd they come from? Why are they there? Seattle, Tampa Bay. Seattle up 1-0. Tampa Bay coming in 67-51 games. In Seattle, 55-64. So that's kind of the games that's going to be going on tonight. The game that happened earlier. I'm sorry, I did miss one of the games that are in the book. San Francisco and Washington. The Giants over the Nationals 4-3. Well, guys, that's going to pretty much wrap it up for us. As always, yeah, we have way too much fun right here on the Hot Corner. My name's Tom Marquis, El Presidente. Just remember, don't drink and drive. It isn't cool. Guys, we're going to see you on Saturday morning, 9 to 11. From 10 to 11 is our mock draft. So if you fantasy football guys, you need to get ready because fantasy football is here. Draft time is here, and we're going to have our mock draft Saturday morning, 10 o'clock. My name is Tom Marquis, El Presidente. And I hope you guys have a great evening. Remember to follow us on all of our social media outlets, Twitter, T-Balance, Facebook, just search The Balance, and on Twitter at Two Hot Corner. Don't forget our sister companies. Don't forget our sister company, www.indieprosports.com. I'm out of here, guys. Peace. I'm going to
con los terroristas.
Join us next week for The Balance. In the meantime, check us out on Twitter, T-Balance, or Facebook, The Balance, or online at www.thebalanceonline.com.